interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF November 22nd, but can't stop the rain. Edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports kicking off live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 2.5 hours, we shine bright. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, almost shining as bright as that brand spanking new sign outside of our studios. If you haven't seen it, just take a drive. South or north on I-49, you can't miss it. And you can't miss us each and every weekday, but especially on a Friday. We've got a huge weekend ahead. I know that some of the teams that we frequent are double-digit favorites, but this is the time of year where good teams start to separate. They win the games they're supposed to, and they go on for bigger and better things. After all, it's playoff time in high school football, baby, so you know it's time to start putting up or shutting up. And with that in mind, I'm not going to shut up and be silent anymore on LSU Arkansas. I sometimes have a habit, and Clint knows it well. YP, you people in listener land probably do too. If it's not a big game, sometimes it slides off my radar a little bit, and I move on to what's next. Or I think about something else related to the game and not necessarily the game. So why don't I get down to brass tacks? Let's take LSU Arkansas seriously, at least for one segment. I don't think it's going to be seriously close on the scoreboard, but there are 5 seriously important things that LSU football needs to do tomorrow night inside Death Valley, when the 44-point underdog Razorbacks come to town. But take these 5 seriously. They're not in any particular order, although one is probably the most important. It's the health of Joe Burrow. I'm officially declaring exhibition game rules. Seriously, why would you treat it any differently? Now, maybe like the 3rd exhibition game in the NFL type of rules, where you are going to start your first team. You're going to get them run together. You're probably even going to play them for the better part of the first half, if not the entire first half. Exhibition game rules that Ogeron, Ensminger, and Brady need to have on Joe Burrow tomorrow night. Get him in, get a lead, get him out. The health of your Heisman Trophy frontrunner is the most important part of this ballgame tomorrow night. 2nd in my 5 important things LSU can accomplish tomorrow. Mo Hampton, come on down. A true freshman from the state of Tennessee, let's see what you got at safety. Maurice Hampton is getting the start tomorrow in place of injured Grant Delpit. Delpit hasn't exactly been playing to his All-American standards that he set from 2018, but when he's out, like anybody that's that huge of a piece of your team, it's a big deal. And so Mo Hampton's got one heck of an opportunity, and we're talking about a potential starting center fielder for Paul Maneri in a few months. This young man's got a whole lot of game, a versatile dual-sport athlete, and if you thought watching Chad Jones was fun because he laid the boom from safety and then the dreadlocks of doom got on the mound and closed people out, this guy's got a chance to be an everyday player for Paul Maneri. And as a freshman, and he's about to start in the secondary, that's pretty cool stuff. It's an important thing that I'll be monitoring, as is 3 on my list. Continue progressing without divinity. This is about next man or men up at the outside linebacker spot opposite of Kalavon Chaisson. I was pretty excited, and many of you likely were in the same boat. It was this time a week ago that you could look forward to Marcel Brooks, another true freshman out of the state of Texas, about to embark upon his first career start at Ole Miss. Here is the plain truth. Nobody on that defense, especially in the second half, needs to be satisfied with or even okay with their game, with their effort. And so whether it's Brooks first, some combination of Andre Anthony, Ray Thornton, you're going to have to play much bigger games with bigger fish to fry without Michael Divinity. The word this week continues to be that Divinity, the senior, who had led LSU in sacks by the time he exited, he called it personal reasons. Glenn Gilbo, the Daily Advertiser, adamant that it's a suspension. And even some of the LSU players slipped up and used that S word, suspension, during interviews this week. So Divinity will not be playing in the next two regular season games against Georgia or the first round of the college football playoffs. Your most important stretch of the season, you're going to play without this man. And so it's time to see what Brooks and some of these others can do. This is another springboard game for them to continue getting their feet under them. Number four for me, prior to LSU-Arkansas, heck, the defense in general needs to take it up a notch. They'll be motivated. They'll be ticked off from a week of reading the bad type of press clippings on themselves and from the butt chewings they probably have got all week inside of their study rooms and on the Ponderosa. The defense needs to tackle, keep it in front, and in general, restore some faith. Not within us, within themselves. Fifth and final, and this one's akin to Mo Hampton. Freshman running backs, it's time for you to show out. This will be a big opportunity. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has rushed for 100 yards in 5 of 6 SEC games. He'll start, probably get a good bit of burn in the first half tomorrow. But I want to see what Ty Davis-Price and John Emery can do when they've got an opportunity to really strut their stuff in a game that's not expected to be competitive. So there, I took the game seriously. Probably the first time all week, and LSU's going to just blow the smithereens out of Arkansas. But those are five things that you should be monitoring. Let's take a call. We'll go out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. All right, Tim, what do you make out of this game?
Okay, so pretty much everything he said is on point, as always. But my thing is, you know, traditionally I'm not like the normal LSU fan. I kind of am an out-the-box type of guy. So defensively-wise, I feel like they get lackadaisical whenever they have those big leads. Because if you really watch the Alabama game and really watch the Auburn game, the defense is, it was there. You know, Alabama not so much as Auburn, but they showed up. I don't really have a big worry from the defense. One thing that does kind of worry me is Mo Hampton playing back there. If he's good enough, I don't know. Like I know he's going to play baseball, but it always just kind of worries me when you play a multi-sport like that, especially being a safety, like flying around the field like he's going to be doing. But anyway, looking to the future, this game, they're going to roll. I'm kind of excited to see what Miles Brennan is going to do, actually, because there's no doubt he's going to be getting in, and he hadn't seen much time since Joey B's been in there, but
I'm glad you mentioned that, Tim. We got a break coming up soon. I appreciate the call. Tim, thank you for the call. And look, I kneecapped you, famous Clint D style there, but for a reason. We do have to hit a break shortly. But I'm glad you mentioned Miles Brennan. I didn't mention him, did I? I gave you 5 bullet points. I kind of did in a backhanded way. I said it's the health of Burrow that's most important. The backside of that point is what Tim brought to the table. Yes, there will be ample opportunity, even in throwing situations, for Brennan to take the field at home. Brennan, in relatively limited time this year, and I think back to, you know, a couple of LSU's games, the end of Mississippi State in particular, in the sample sizes we've had of Brennan, it doesn't, again, restore a lot of faith or maybe instill a lot of faith for the future if it's going to be him and not Peter Parrish or somebody else next year. So hard to think too much about life beyond Burrow, but you're right, this game's an opportunity to at least get a glimpse of what that could be. And I think it's time for Brennan, when he has these sample size moments, to show and prove to himself and this offense what he can be when the lights are on. So, Tim, that's a good one. I gave 5. Tim gave 1 to grow on. And we've got a lot of growth during today's program with our guest. Phenomenal to have back aboard Jake DeLome, former UL Ragin' Cajun, and a man who played on both sides of this Sunday's ballgame that will be played in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, former Saint and Panther, Jake DeLome joining us in a couple of minutes. At straight up 5 o'clock, Justin Vincent, former LSU Tiger, and Jake Madison at 5:45, talking about a 3-game winning streak for Alvin Gentry and the New Orleans Pelicans. Don't forget, RP3 steps in. We'll have football night in Acadiana pregame style, previewing all of the round two action in our high school state playoffs, and it all leads into STM hosting Evangel. It is a fantastic time for football, and this is exactly where you need to be. After a brief timeout, we'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
No debate about it. We've got a local legend coming aboard and excited to talk shop with him. Quickly, let's get out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. He went into the Carolina Panthers Ring of Honor earlier this fall. Of course, Jake DeLome with us on 103.7 The Game. Jake, how are you on this Friday?
I am very well. Ready for a great football weekend. How about yourself?
Same exact thing. I'm actually going to start, maybe you didn't expect this, but your Terlings Rebels taking a big road trip toward New Orleans. What do you remember about this time of year? And I don't care if it's select, non-select, it's the playoffs. This had to be a lot of fun as you were coming through.
It was a great deal of fun. You know, there's something about, and we used to speak to it, I know when I was in high school, you always wanted to be able to practice during Thanksgiving week. You were off of school, but it was something pretty cool about it to be able to practice the week of Thanksgiving and play that week. You know you've made it pretty far, and you're one of the few teams left. So that was always something that was pretty special, and you wanted to practice during that week. And, you know, the teams that advance tonight, they'll get to experience that next week. And you think of your memories of high school football, that's certainly something you remember, playoff wins. And to be able to keep on advancing, it's certainly special.
It always starts there, and if you're fortunate and talented enough, you make it a couple levels higher. You get to the NFL, and that takes us to your Carolina Panthers. 5-5 on the season. They've lost two straight, very competitive, 2 weeks back against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. Not as much at home against Atlanta afterwards. So what do you make out of Kyle Allen and what he's doing trying to admirably fill in for Cam Newton?
Well, he's really played well this year, quite honestly, up until last week. If you look at the season as a whole, they start out 0-2, and Cam, you could just tell he wasn't running the football, so you knew there was something going on there. But then Kyle comes in, they win 4 in a row, and then they go to San Francisco, and they really run into a buzzsaw that day. Just a complete, you know, beatdown, so to speak, San Francisco and every facet of the game. So you just kind of chalk that one up. You know, you have one of those games during the course of the year. You saw the Saints have one 2 weeks ago against Atlanta. And then they come back and they play decent. They will get back on the winning streak. And they go to Green Bay, and it goes down to the last play of the game in the snow at Lambeau Field. And you watch Kyle Allen march the team down the field, making big throw after big throw, completing third down passes to convert and fourth down passes. And they get tackled on the one-yard line with no time left going in, running Christian McCaffrey. So I was looking forward to watching the game next week. It's like maybe he took a step, and, you know, for whatever reason, it just wasn't the Panthers' day. And it started from the get-go, the third play of the game offensively for Carolina. Kyle throws an unfortunate pick when he's trying to throw it away, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And it was really an ugly loss, and it was very similar to what Atlanta did to the Saints 2 weeks prior. You can't paint it any prettier because it was just ugly. Atlanta made it ugly, and they won the game, and that's what they did last week against Carolina. So now you're sitting here 5-5. You're going to play one of the elite teams in the NFL in their home stadium. They've kind of already thrown in their clunker for the year. Some of the things that are coming out of New Orleans is that we remember, even though it was week 17 last year, it didn't mean anything. The kid threw the ball all over us and things of that nature. So it's a tough task, and I'm anxious to see if he can rebound and what can he do from here on out, because no one's coming. You know, no one's coming to take over. You know, Cam's not coming back this year. He's on IR. So this is a great test for Kyle.
Previewing the Panthers at the Saints on Sunday, Jake DeLome, our guest on 103.7 The Game. Number one pass rush in the league, at least in terms of sacks for your Panthers. And the Saints, when they did falter, that clunker you mentioned 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, that's where they were worst, allowing Breeze to be hit some 16 times. How could that play itself out on Sunday?
Well, the big thing is that I think we have 39 sacks on the year, but we've struggled in run defense, what Carolina has. And last week, they improved somewhat. They really held Atlanta in check running the football, but Atlanta was down to Brian Hill as their running back. So it wasn't like they had Freeman and things like that. So this is a different animal with Murray and obviously Kamara. And Kamara looks better. He looks healthy. Watching that Atlanta game, he didn't look like himself. And last week, watching film on him, you can tell that high ankle's really starting to heal in a good way. So we've done a good job of getting after the passer, but we've really struggled in stopping teams running the football. I was shocked when we beat Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. They ran Derrick Henry two times in the first half. Why did they not go with the game plan of trying to run it on Carolina? I'll have no idea. They had success early on in the third quarter running it. Carolina answered and had a three-score lead, so they had to go to throwing it. So you would like to think the Saints are going to come out, try to establish the run. But yet again, some of the pass plays that they do in New Orleans, they're extended handoffs. And so some of these quick passes, these swing passes and things of that nature, that is the Saints' run game, so to speak.
Jake, we hear a lot about how quarterbacks can maybe help to make a wide receiver, but I think it's pretty clear at this point Michael Thomas is a stud in his own right. I mean, what do you make out of 13 in the black and gold?
You know, he's special. Yeah, big, strong, physical. There's not many other guys that truly scare you on the Saints roster, and that's going back to last year and maybe the year prior. But yet nobody can guard him and nobody can cover him. I think just his length. He's very long. It sounds like he's very strong. And everything you read about him, it sounds like he practices that way and he works that way. Well, it's very simple. And, you know, for young kids that watch and listen and see, when you're talented, but when you work your tail off at practice, the games become easy. And he makes the games look easy. So I would assume the Panthers are going to have to somehow – try a way to limit him if they can. But you got to pick your poison. You know, do you limit him with two guys and that leaves you vulnerable to the run game where you've already been pretty kind of susceptible in that race? So he's a heck of a football player, I can tell you that much.
Want to fit one in on your Raging Cajuns. Jake DeLome, good enough to spend time with us on 103.7 The Game. You've been on record on this program as saying last year's defense, Ron Roberts, probably didn't have a lot of the ingredients he needed. They've obviously been better this year. But at 8-2, a possibility to go back to the Sun Belt Conference title game, have they been better this year than even you expected?
I think so. I said it earlier, and it's not a knock against, you know, some of the kids from last year, but I'm not so sure, you know, Napier was playing with a full deck last year. I'm going to be very honest with you. I think, you know, Hudsmith scrambled at the end and kind of went heavy JUCO, was just trying to plug some holes and, you know, Napier comes in with his staff, and, you know, we were kind of up and down, and you just saw the team progress and get better as the year went on. And, look, coaches might not want to say it, but I think fans, we can say it, they overachieved last year. Yeah, we had some good running backs, and we had some good linemen, but other than that, to me, there wasn't a ton there. And then you're watching some of these kids that we've had start to develop, to watch the new guys starting to come in, and we're a pretty darn good football team. We're fun to watch. You know, we lose to Mississippi State and 500 yards offense. We have five turnovers, and you lose to App State at home right at the end, and obviously they're a good football team. So we're a fun watch. I think the development of players is probably the greatest compliment you can give a coach. And if you don't see development of players as you well, then you're not looking, because what they're doing is outstanding. And, you know, hopefully the community is starting to kind of get behind them a little bit more, and we have a good crowd tomorrow and have a good showing.
Get the rain out of the way today. Sun will shine on the Cajuns tomorrow. Jake, it's always a pleasure talking football, all three levels. Again, thank you for doing this. Stay dry out there.
I will try my best, man, and you take care.
The great Jake DeLome stopping by on a football Friday. It is that time of year. I mean, you can kind of hear it in his voice, right? All three levels. High school, you have to win or your season's done. At the collegiate level, Cajuns are playing for so much. I mean, not only this year, but really chasing some history. To be ranked first time in this millennium, that's a pretty large affair. And then, of course, the game on Sunday, Panthers lose, fall to 5-6. I think their chances of climbing into a wild card spot diminish greatly. Panthers win, advance to 6-5. Well, that's one of those things where suddenly you not only climb back up a rung on the ladder, but you bring the Saints a little closer down to earth, closer to you. So a big one inside of the Superdome as well. Glad we got to catch up on all of those levels. Do not forget, RP3 coming aboard. Football night in Acadiana. We got a little extra oomph, a little extra juice for this ball game. Even though Ray had to travel to Southern Arkansas last night to call a Kaplan-Sterlington game, he's putting his party pants on, and we're going to go all in on a huge slate of games. Evangel STM CD, for my money, it'll be the best game that the state has anywhere tonight.
And there's not a doubt in my mind that's probably one of the most entertaining games top to bottom when you just think about everything going on. STM Evangel, there's plenty of juice at it. I think the fact that we had Trevor Begge on the other day wound up adding a little bit more, at least for me.
Okay. You're right. And look, he remembers playing this game on a regular basis during the regular season. Now it's standing in the path of Jim Hightower and the Cougars of getting where they want to go, and that's toward and to another Division II state championship. STM not the only game in town, not by a long shot. We're going to preview Cairncrow, Northwood, Shreveport, VC trying to make a run to the state semifinals, and then all of your other favorites from around Acadiana and the state of Louisiana. This one's going to be fun from 6 to 6:30. But on the other side of this break, it's Friday. That means Sink or Swim is over-under time. I got three the hard way on LSU Arkansas. Stay with us. After a brief timeout, we'll bounce right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just because LSU taking on Arkansas at the home of the Tigers is trending toward a lopsided affair. I think I said that diplomatically. There we go. Just because that's the case doesn't mean we can't start to figure on some important figures and some big numbers surrounding this game. You love every week, Clint, on Fridays when we go over-unders for Sink or Swim. And sometimes we've got one. Sometimes we got two. When I'm feeling ambitious, we'll throw three against the wall and see what sticks. Today would be one of those days. So just go ahead and zip up the rain jacket, get out the umbrella. We're going to make it rain with over-unders.
Exciting and new.
See, the first one's kind of a fusion. It's almost more of a traditional sink or swim. Over under number one, Joe Burrow plays into the third quarter on Saturday night. That's simple. Does he play into the third quarter? Over under number two, LSU freshman running backs rush for a combined 100 yards. You heard me mention in the open one of my five important things for this game that I'm suddenly taking seriously, at least for a few moments. Emory, Davis Price, what you got? Big showcase opportunity. And finally, over under number three, I'm going to give you the same number that I gave last week for Ole Miss, and they skyrocketed past 13.5 on the over under scale. So I'm floating it back out there for the Arkansas Razorbacks. As a team, will the, ship without a captain, Arkansas Razorbacks manage to score at least 14 points. So again, let me run it down. Does Burrow play into the third quarter? Will LSU's freshman backs combine for 100 yards? And does Arkansas reach the 14-point plateau? Don't think long. Just call and react. 706-0111. Clint, I'll take your reactions first.
And, you know, the first one I feel like is way too easy for me because, in fact, I think it definitely influences a lot of how the rest of the game goes. I think Joe Burrow will be playing for the entire first half, and then he doesn't play the rest of the game because you look at what happened last week against Ole Miss. They put up 35 points. I feel like that's the magic number for most teams, especially at this point in the season.
And see, when I look at what happened last week, I think of Tua and that informing a decision on Joe more than most of us might give it credit for. We think LSU's in this bubble. We do what's best for LSU. Yeah. How could you watch that and not realize your mortality as a program in this season.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure every other college football program looked at that as well in these kind of games when you look at the level of competition some of these teams, some of these programs have.
All right, so you got Burrow not going past halftime.
Yeah, not going past halftime. And it comes to LSU's freshman running backs going for a combined 100 yards. I wouldn't be surprised if they go over on this one. I would definitely go that route because I feel like those guys, they'll call all the dogs in the second half, but I still think the freshman running backs against an Arkansas Razorbacks defense that hasn't shown a whole lot, I think they wind up rolling that one. And then the final one, I got to go Arkansas. I'll take the over on this one. I'll take the over. So because of the fact, again, I brought up the fact, you'll see the dogs get called off a little bit. You'll see the freshman running backs probably get some run, especially mid-second quarter. But I wouldn't be surprised, Ben, and you know the it's 44-43-point spread right now for Arkansas. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover that bad boy because of the fact that I think you see the dogs get called off late and you see Arkansas get garbage time touchdowns to cover.
And so the spread is 44. The over-under is 69.5. That's a nice number. And I would tell you, just looking at it, so what is that? How does that educate us? That means that LSU, on average with that, would win this game. Oh, man, math in the middle of the show. Sometimes it just hits you like a brick. But let's say that Arkansas scored 14. That means to hit the over-under number, LSU would have to hit around 56. So if LSU is going to be in that spread range and it's going to be near cover range, can LSU score 56 against Arkansas? Of course they can. Will they? I'm not so sure about that as far as Arkansas's offensive capabilities. The Razorbacks have lost seven straight. The last time they were seen on a football field, they scored 19 at home against Western Kentucky. The week prior, they scored 24 at home against Mississippi State. They scored 7 at Bama and 10 versus Auburn. Clint, I'm going to start there, and I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say that Arkansas is under 13.5 points. Even though they've had a bye week, their track record, not good on offense, and you're dealing with a ticked-off LSU defense. I know it's one that's injured. I know Grant Delpit's not going to play, but I think Dave Aranda's group is going to have a turnaround performance. It's almost just bad, unfortunate timing for Arkansas to go up against this defense that I think is going to be pointed toward this game and have a little bit of Les Miles want to improve. So I'm going to go backwards on this. I'll start with our third over-under. I got Arkansas under 13.5. I'm with you. I've got LSU's freshman tandem of Emory and Davis Price over the century mark. I think they might go over 125 collectively. This is a big opportunity, not just for Miles Brennan, but usually in a game like this, if it's Cupcake City, it's your running game that gets a chance to take center stage. And here's the real problem. If a team can't stop your second team rushing attack, even if it's just your second team RBs, doesn't have to be your second O-line, if a team can't stop that and you're trying to salt out a game, you've got a chance to put up some really crooked numbers on the scoreboard and on the stat sheet. I think that the two freshmen, one from Baton Rouge and one from down the road in Destrehan, have their biggest combined game of the season. I've got LSU's freshman backs over 100 yards. Clint, we agree as well on Joe Burrow. I don't think he plays into the third quarter. I think there's going to be a relative abundance of caution. Burrow's numbers, as they relate toward winning a Heisman, not going to come into play for LSU staff. I don't think they're going to be focused on that one iota. So for me, he'll hang it up at halftime. Not before then. I think he'll make it through the first half, and then they'll give the reins over to Brennan and the rest of this offense. Maybe even a few whiffs of the playing field for true freshman Peter Parrish from Alabama. So I told you in the opening segment, I'd love to see exhibition game rules in place for Joe Burrow in this one. And like third game of the NFL preseason type of exhibition, at least the way that third games used to be. Typically, you didn't play your starters at all in game one of the NFL preseason. Game two, maybe the ones got a series. And by game three, all right, we're going to play them for a full half. By game four, they sat again. That third game, that's what I'm looking for out of Burrow. LSU can't afford to go down the line too much at every position. They don't have enough healthy depth at quarterback. I think that is the case that they will be able to. All right, CD, who do we have that wants to come aboard and join us?
We got Keith.
Let's get him aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, thanks for calling in. What you got on our over-unders?
I got over, over, and over. And I like the overs on Burrow because I think he needs to play at least through the middle of the third quarter. I know everybody's concerned over last weekend's injury of Tua. But if you think back last year and you take out the game, I think it was the national championship game where Tua struggled. Before that, they pulled him out in the third quarter. And to me, that lost the Heisman for him. I think Burrow goes in, goes to the mid-quarter, pumps his numbers back up, gets out. Let's Brennan get in, and then that's what I think the freshman running backs, I'll put over 150.
Okay.
But then I think they're really going to gouge the Arkansas defense. But for some reason, I'm wanting to go over on the Arkansas defense just because I know our defense is coming out mad and angry after last weekend. But we still have some gaps, and we have some assignments that we're missing. And, of course, with Delpit out, that's going to be another situation there that we're going to have to – improve on, even with him out.
I think that's fair. I appreciate the call, Keith. I'll talk to that point. Thank you.
No.
There you have it. We can take some more. 706-0111. Keith is going over on all three of our offerings. I can understand the freshman running backs. So far, all three of us who've answered feel that way. Over the century mark. Over Arkansas point production, that's fine too. But I think he might have been a little better suited, CD. Our man Keith there, for yesterday's sink or swim question, how important to you are Burrow's numbers? To Keith, they sound like they're fairly important. I'm not going to knock that. I'm just going to say there's such a thing as winning the Heisman and there's such a thing as winning the national championship. They are not mutually exclusive, but sometimes you must protect a guy from going after one to make sure the other stays in focus. And whatever that balance is, I'm sure LSU's coaching staff has dissected this six ways from Saturday.
Exactly, Ben. And, you know, we just talk about it. This is like a guy, Joe Burrow, everything that he's done this season, we talked about it yesterday. He's got the Heisman Trophy virtually locked up at this point. I don't see anybody else showing me right here, right now, that can wind up.
I told you yesterday who the possibility is. I told you.
Okay, throw it out there.
It's the exact parallel as Tua losing it to Kyler Murray last year. Oklahoma got hot. Kyler was having to play full games with that style of offense and the way he performed in it. Kyler took it late statistically. That guy, if it's going to happen this year, is Justin Fields. Ohio State finishes the season this week with Penn State, next week with Michigan, and then in the Big Ten championship game, which is usually the final game played before you get into the Heisman voting. Usually the Big Ten championship played that Saturday night is the last game played. So there's something to be said for making the last biggest impression. Justin Fields has that opportunity. And it's not that Burrow doesn't. That A&M game will be a showcase, right? Even at night. I think there'll be a lot of eyeballs after last year's seven overtime affair. SEC title games, it's going to be enormous if Georgia's still in the top four. But if there's going to be a thief in the night like Kyler Murray last year, it is Justin Fields of Ohio State this year. I don't think that's going to happen. And in my opinion, leaving Burrow in to guard against that, if you're up by 35 in this Arkansas game, it's stupid. And I don't know any other word for it. I think it's borderline reckless. So there, I'm on record. Let's take our final break in this opening hour. You can call me and tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. I welcome that. Look, I'm married. I get that all the time. I'm immune to it. But we will bounce right back in. We'll talk more LSU, and then we'll get into the college football landscape this weekend. After a brief timeout, we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This is Ed Ogeron, head coach.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to be definitive about something like that. It's a gut feeling. Just when you watch the tape and you see the length and you see that athleticism and you see the production, it's hard to argue with it. You know, when you talk to people in the profession that I know and respect, and they talk about the number of probably first-round draft choices and things like that on their roster, it's kind of a combination of all those things.
That's James Franklin out there, hashtag WeAring. That's the head coach at Penn State, saying this might be the best Ohio State team he's faced, James Franklin, since he's been up in Happy Valley. Interesting. And we will preview that game in full, because I want to talk about the slate we've got coming up in college football this weekend, largely because I think it's better, for the most part, not wholesale, than some of what we have coming up on what's usually known as a rivalry weekend this coming week with Thanksgiving. Everything on the docket, we'll discuss it. But Clint, I want you to know, we've gotten some great response so far to our sink or swim questions of the day, three over-unders. We asked you, one, does Joe Burrow play into the third quarter? Two, LSU's freshman running backs, do they combine for 100 yards? And three, will Arkansas score over or under 13.5 points? Let me give you some of the reaction. At 103.7 The Game on Facebook, Robert D. over on all three. So he's like our man Keith that called in. Jamie G., Burrow is pulled by half. Running backs go over 150. And Arkansas scores 6, so he's going under there. Tim P., under, over, over. Cullen, along with Brian, they've got over on Burrow, under on the freshman running backs, and then over, finally, on Arkansas's point total. And then this next one proves that they are selling alcohol in the greater Acadiana area right now. Guy R. simply says Clint is on point. So, yes, they are selling it on a Friday right now.
They're selling it on a Friday. That is correct. That is something I don't necessarily hear that much, is Clint is on point. This is a wonderful Friday. My Friday's made.
Congratulations. And the check is in the mail to Guy R. We can take some more of your thoughts on those questions. Give us a call, 706-0111. But there is no doubt, the showcase game in this week 13 of the college football season, it's number 8. At number 2, Ohio State playing host to Penn State, and that spread has done nothing but grow. And I mean like a weed, brother. 18.5 points in favor of the number 2 Buckeyes in the shoe. 11 a.m. kickoff, so you better get up early tomorrow if you want to watch this one. And why is it important? I think a couple of reasons. For LSU, this one starts to maybe tilt things back at least toward balance in between the argument of LSU and Ohio State as the number 1 overall seed. I wouldn't even be surprised if the selection committee put Ohio State ahead of LSU after this weekend if the two home teams that are heavily favored hold serve. If LSU beats Arkansas and Ohio State beats Penn State. I'm not telling you it's what I think should happen. I could see it happening, though, because when given an opportunity, the selection committee put Ohio State ahead of LSU in its initial batch of rankings 3 weeks ago after LSU won in Tuscaloosa, changed their mind for the last 2 weeks. If you made me put down shekels on it, again, I'm not saying what I think should happen. It's what I think will happen. I would throw down some moolah that this selection committee suffers from a what have you done for me lately type of dementia. I would bet money on that. And so if Ohio State beats top 8 Penn State at home, wouldn't surprise me at all if they slotted them ahead of LSU going into the final week of the regular season. Will that win be anywhere near as impressive as LSU going to Alabama? I reject that notion. It would not be. But I'm just telling you, from an LSU perspective, keep that one on the back burner. An early game tomorrow, I think, could loom large on how next week's rankings and then all of the rankings heading down the stretch of this regular season into conference title weekend, how all that's going to play out. You look around the rest of the college football landscape, and Clint, I think I said this on the program yesterday, there's not a single matchup other than that one that pits two ranked teams against one another. You've got some teams in big spots, don't get me wrong, but no other battle of ranked teams. As far as the guys that are still trying to keep their name in the hat for the playoffs, number 7, Utah, on the road at Zona. The 11 Utes are 22.5-point favorites there. Number 9, Oklahoma, almost 3-score favorites at home against TCU. Oregon, the closest contender, because I do think that an Oregon team that wins out will jump Bama at the end, except possibly if Georgia beats LSU and then all hell will break loose. But Oregon this week, number 6 in the country, 15-point favorites on the road at Arizona State. After that, you got a lot of people that are just trying to hold serve. But I'm going to tell you right now what the trickiest and stickiest game of the weekend is. And I know, call it Homer Radio, I don't care. I know it's my alma mater. Number 4, Georgia, at home against Texas A&M has a chance to be just maybe too close for comfort. And I'm not telling you that just as a grad who's tensing up. I've got some facts behind my reasoning. Georgia, 13.5-point favorites. I think that's too much. Cousin Dino would probably join me. If we did an audible bootleg edition of Spreadheads, we probably would both take A&M's side of this one. The weather, as we're starting to experience in South Louisiana, it's worse along that I-20 corridor. And if it's a sloppy track tomorrow in Athens, I think that this game could be played in fairly tight quarters, tight margins, and just lesser room for error. If Georgia's capable of losing at home to South Carolina with the sun shining bright, it could be interesting tomorrow at home against Texas A&M. And that's a team with Kellen Mond that, look, they're 7-3. I know we've buried A&M as far as a realistic contender, but they've won four in a row. They're starting to play some better football. Again, just because they swept the battle of the state of Mississippi, winning at Ole Miss versus Mississippi State and then dusting off Frank Wilson's UTSA team, followed by South Carolina, doesn't mean that A&M has arrived. I'm just telling you, when we're looking at the national landscape, that one is incredibly interesting. And the other reason, Clint, if for some reason A&M upsets Georgia, the Dogs will still be going to Atlanta. They finish every regular season with Georgia Tech. Has no bearing. Georgia could go into the SEC title game with two losses, probably outside of the top six or seven. But then what in the world happens if they beat LSU? Again, I wouldn't project that. Still think LSU is a two-touchdown favorite in that game. But tomorrow is one of the last real appetizers before we get an entree weekend of the conference title slates.
Exactly, and that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, you brought it up perfectly. If Georgia loses this game on Saturday, there's a potential where chaos could reign supreme here, and that'd be a lot. I'd love it,
yeah,
personally.
Look, any real chaotic scenario involves LSU losing in Atlanta. Again, I don't think that's very likely, but you're just out there rooting for mayhem. I get it, Clint. I get it. You wear red on Fridays for a reason. Let's get into one final word of this 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Chalk. Despite everything we just said, I would still bet on chalk being the most likely outcome for the top 4 to 6 teams in the country this weekend. They've all got games that you would think they should win. In fact, almost all of them, except really for Oregon, are at home. And so I bet chalk's going to reign supreme. But if not, you're right, Clint, it will get chaotic. Chalk, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming back and bringing Justin Vincent with us. You've got Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. It's a waterlogged edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, getting you through the inclement weather and home on this Friday, November the 22nd on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And let's kick off our Football Friday 5 o'clock hour with Justin Vincent, development officer for the Tiger Athletic Foundation and former LSU running back great. He's with us aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. JV, happy Friday. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, other than stuck in traffic.
I'm with you, and that's why radio, well, it's good. For me, it's not great for everybody that has to drive around. I know, but I want to ask you, what's the atmosphere around a defense that performed the way LSU did in the second half a week ago? So as you were part of the team, as you were part of that coaching staff, what's that room like, and how do those guys take a game like that and then try to respond to it?
You know, I think that a lot of guys hold themselves accountable, for one. You know, there's a lot of pride on defense. If you've been around any defensive guys, They think they can knock anybody down, so and make any tackle at any given time. So there was a lot of pride that went into that. There's preparation this week. They're trying to bounce back and set things right. They were one of the top defenses, I think, in the SEC going into that game, and then going out, you know, having Plumlee rush the way he did and then moving the ball the way they did. I think it's nothing but motivation. I think for these young guys, though, they can see the low-hanging fruit. They know if they can get the job done, there's a lot of good things that can happen later on down the road. So I think they're gonna look it in the face, and they watch the film this week and get back to work.
A week ago, it was Marcel Brooks making his first start at outside linebacker. Tomorrow night, it'll be back in the secondary, Mo Hampton, in place of the injured Grant Delpit. What do you make out of the two-sport athlete, his chances of sticking on the football side?
I'm excited to see him, man. I haven't seen a lot other than at practice, but I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. Obviously, he's a well-rounded athlete and showed his skills on the diamond end of the football field. So I think given the opportunity, the young man can make plays for us, and he'll be a force until we can get some healthy guys back.
From Jared Mitchell to Chad Jones, I mean, when you watch guys like that, what's their life like when they're trying to do both of those things at the collegiate level?
They don't have one. You go from one practice to the next during the spring, obviously doing baseball season, doing baseball things and traveling with the team. And then as soon as that's over with, you're doing football lifts and all this stuff. So, you know, when you're a two-sport athlete in college, man, it is a knockdown, drag out 3.5-4 years of your life, however long you're there. And you just got to hold on for the ride, man. And you know what you signed up for. So they should be up to the challenge, I think.
Talking LSU football with Justin Vincent on 103.7 The Game. Your take on this Arkansas team and so many factors. I mean, coming out of a bye week, head coach has been fired. Where do you think their headspace is?
I'm not quite sure, man. It's tough for those young men. Obviously, they had a tough haul, you know, starting from the beginning of the season all the way up until now. And then you fire Chad Morris after, I think, 22 games. They don't know where they stand. I think they're still trying to find their way. They do some things effectively on offense and on defense. But obviously I hope they don't try to put it together tomorrow night. But I think, you know, moving forward, Arkansas has to come with a devised plan, and they have to be willing to stick with it and give whoever that gets the job a fighting chance to turn that thing around. Because if you turn that thing into a revolving door, man, they're going to have many more of these seasons ahead.
Justin, as an offensive staff gets together in a week like this and starts to think about Joe Burrow, his playing time, I mean, how much do they take into consideration, not the Heisman stuff and the stats, but how much do they take into consideration everything, right? I mean, the rest of the season, the likelihood that this game gets out of hand, what's that conversation like?
You know, I think they try to put it on the back burner just to have everybody back and focused and not worrying about if they're coming out of the game or not. I think, you know, obviously Joe, just by watching him and being around him just a little bit that I have, I mean, he's a gamer. I mean, obviously he doesn't want to come out of the game, but obviously seeing you getting out of hand, you want the younger guys to get some burn out there, especially at Miles. Brennan, to get him some work. But, yeah, I think you got to go out there and click on all cylinders, put some points on the board as quick as you can, and defense make some stops, and you can get those young guys in there. But, you know, I think the task is to go out there, put points on the board, do what you do on a regular basis, and let the game kind of fold out on itself.
I made the statement, Justin, as our program began today, this game is huge for Mo Hampton on the defensive side and the freshman running backs on offense. So what do you think is ahead tomorrow night for Emory and Davis Price?
I think they'll get a lot of touches tomorrow night. I think Clyde will get his fair share in the first half, but after that, I think it'll be the young man show. I think, you know, Ty, who I've kind of taken a liking to, will be a bruiser, and I think he'll be a force of reckoning with down the road. Emory is kind of still emerging, trying to find his way. I think he, you know, trying to hit a home run every time. It's a little bit different in the SEC and especially in college ball. In particular, you got to be patient, man. Let it come to you. As we all know, Leonard kind of struggled with that when he came in. Always wanted to hit a home run, and you just got to let the game kind of unfold and take your licks and plug in those 3 to 4 yards, and eventually you'll break off one of those long ones. But I'm excited to see them play Saturday. They have a lot of expectations of themselves, and so does LSU fans.
You know, staying in the backfield, I'll get your reaction to Clyde Edwards-Helaire named a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Obviously, Clyde, man, is an outstanding human being. He's always done things the right way. He's one of those young men that you have on the ball club. You don't have to worry about, you know, going to class and doing all the things you're supposed to do. you know, for him to be a semifinalist for this award, I think is amazing. It's a testament to what he's done and put in the work and given the opportunity, which is all he was looking for, to showcase his talents, and everybody's getting to see it.
I got to tell you a funny story on the way out, and I want to know if you've heard something like this before, but I ran into somebody literally earlier today in Lafayette, and he said, man, I love when you have Justin Vincent on Fridays, and he told me a Justin Vincent story. He said, I was going into the Superdome for the 04 national title game, and I was told the ticket I paid so much money for was a counterfeit, was a copy, and so I ended up watching Justin's run right as I got to a bar outside of the stadium. Do you hear stories like that?
Yeah, man. It's for me, it's such a humbling experience, and I still can't kind of wrap my head around it. And then the things that I was able to do and the team that I was a part of, and we achieved so much success. It's amazing to, you know, go out, especially what I do now, and I meet a lot of people who are customers we wouldn't have met on a normal basis. And I hear these stories about, you know, there's another one that Brandon Landry tells, that, you know, he was getting up there going buying everybody drinks. And I broke off the long run, and somebody hit him and threw drinks in the air, and everybody got wet. So it's all those crazy things, man, that you hear from people, man. It's awesome to know that, you know, that we were able to accomplish something and bring so many people so much joy.
This 2019 team trying to get to where you were. But, yeah, man, I'm right there with you. From counterfeit tickets to spilled drinks, that was one heck of a night. I appreciate you joining us, man. Get home safe. Hopefully you get home quickly, Justin.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Justin Vincent, development officer for the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Clint, where were you on January 4th, 2004?
I don't remember.
Not throwing drinks up in the air when Justin Vincent ran for a very early touchdown against Oklahoma.
Definitely that.
Probably not doing that.
Yeah, I think I might have been just at the house enjoying the game.
I'm very timidly touching a little sky right here, raising my hand in the air. Utopia Bar, Bourbon Street in New Orleans, while that happened. Now, I had a good spot. I had carved out some good real estate, and I was primed and ready for that ball game. Justin likes to tell me that he knows I went through before him, and I remind him every once in a while that, okay, dude, you were a redshirt freshman in 2003. I was a freshman at Georgia in 2003. So you're 1 year older than me. I don't want to hear all this stuff about I came through the turnstiles before you. But I love hearing stories like I did today. Literally got stopped by somebody I hadn't seen in a hot minute and told that story. And I told him I would tell Justin when we had him aboard. That wish has been granted. We're going to take our first break in the 5 o'clock hour. Want to come back in and talk a little more Saints and this week in the NFL. We'll take your calls. Heck, we might even have another story if you give us one. What you were doing January 4, 04, when Justin ripped one off against the Oklahoma Sooners. And after this timeout, we'll combine all that and keep the fun going with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Someone asked me that the other day. I mean, probably the same thing it takes in the Super Bowl. And last year, you know, there was a wide receiver that won the MVP in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, we don't have any control over it.
Sean Payton on what it would take for receiver Michael Thomas to win the MVP. That's been a conversation coming more and more into vogue. Yeah, I've got a take on it, and it might not be popular, but it's how I feel, and I never lie to you. We'll take your calls on that subject. Michael Thomas, MVP candidate, question mark. Do you think he is? Do you think he should be? 706-0111. We'll also let you rein in some of your Justin Vincent National Championship game stories. The one I heard earlier today that I just relayed when JV was aboard was pretty hilarious to me. But again, we've got some time for you in this segment, throwing shade on the other side of our next break, and then Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans Podcasting, to talk about a three-game winning streak for the New Orleans Pelicans. That's coming your way at 5:45, so in about 28 minutes. But, Clint, my predictably unpopular opinion is that Michael Thomas should not be seriously considered for most valuable player of the NFL. And it's for the same reason that I'm not sure that a starting pitcher should really ever be considered for the MVP of either the AL or the NL. This came up earlier, I guess in the early fall, late summer, when we were discussing Justin Verlander, who has since gone on to win his second Cy Young Award in the AL. But the first time around that JV won it, he also took home the AL MVP as a member of the Detroit Baseball Tigers. I'm just not down with the guy who's going to show up once every four or five games. Even if he's the most dominant player on your team, I'm not sure that it's fair he be considered for MVP. And in some ways, I can make that same type of case for wide receivers, although the modern game is different. And as you heard Jake Delhomme say in the 4 o'clock hour, the Saints have so many plays that are basically an extension of the run game. In the modern NFL, those little quick hitters, think about the Michael Thomas special. The Saints like to run, and that LSU has tried to emulate. When they get near the goal line, they bring Thomas in motion. He runs a quick little slant. They hit him basically at the line of scrimmage, and it allows some of those wideouts and tight ends to stalk block legally. The guy is really good in tight quarters. They've turned some extended running plays into big yardage plays. He is a freak, and I think he's ascending to probably being the best wide receiver in the league. But I don't know if I can ever really co-sign a guy at that position being the league's most valuable player. In the same way that even a Jerry Rice is best, I would have told you that. I just don't know that a guy at that position has enough control on the game. Just like I'm trying to tell you about a starting pitcher having enough control on the majority of a 162-game baseball regular season, I don't know that that's just. And I think it takes away, certainly, from the importance of a Lamar Jackson, a Russell Wilson, and especially the biggest atlas in all of the NFL this year, Christian McCaffrey, who carries on his shoulders the entirety of the Carolina Panthers team. Not the offense, the team. A receiver like Michael Thomas is always going to be dependent on a quarterback. Michael Thomas is a freak. He's all pro. I don't mind that he gets some votes for this award. I think it would be an injustice if he wins the award. So there's my predictably unpopular opinion. Now let's hear what you think about it. We get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Al is waiting on us. Al, what do you think?
Hey, what, yeah, I agree with what you just said.
All right, what else you got for us? Yeah.
What would you think about Notre Dame and Catholic High? What's your prediction?
Got a high school playoff question from Al. I'm going to handicap a high school football game. Probably won't hang a spread on it, but I will tell you it's hard to pick against the Pios at home in the playoffs. I have an immense amount of respect for Brent Endest, and I think he's one of the area's bright coaches. I think he's outmatched tonight. That would be my guess. So I'll kind of leave it there and not take any further flight off the tarmac. So I appreciate Al calling in, and he agrees with me. No Michael Thomas for MVP, realistically. We will talk some more about Pios, Panthers, and the rest of the slate that's coming up for round two of the high school football playoffs. In some schools, right, it's round one. STM got a bye week. So, yeah, I think the Pios roll tonight. I think there are a number of area teams that will have a distinct home field advantage. They're just one of them. But what do you make out of this whole thing with Michael Thomas, Clint?
You know, I have to agree with you. To a certain extent, like, a wide receiver shouldn't be in consideration of an MVP award unless it's like an anomaly type year where you see like a guy like Michael Thomas just put up ungodly amount of numbers. And
well, he technically is doing that.
Yeah.
He may break the single-season record, which is just a stupid big number, put up by Marvin Harrison in his heyday playing alongside Peyton Manning. So he is doing historic things for his position, and that has to be recognized. Again, I don't know that there's enough of an impact on the overall game. He does impact the football game, no question. You got to account for him. But there's still a quarterback that has to get it to him. There's still a running game, which you can make a case that he improves because of his presence. All those things I agree with. But not up there with Lamar Jackson, not up there with Russell Wilson, and not up there with Christian McCaffrey. After that, you're going to tell me he's as valuable as anybody else that's out there? I'm going to have a hard time disagreeing with you. So I guess if that makes you a candidate that you're one of the most five valuable players in the league, then fine. But a legitimate threat to win it, like really up there, I have a hard time pulling that trigger.
It's really tough because, in fact, like, I think, especially with the fact that you're up against Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Christian McCaffrey, who are going to wind up being probably the top three vote getters, I think, without a doubt, no matter what order it's in. I think we can all agree on that. And, you know, we bring up the fact Michael Thomas on the verge of making history.
And, oh, by the way, Pat Mahomes. I understand he missed a few games there, but he's still putting up PlayStation numbers.
He's still putting up phenomenal numbers, but we talk about, I mean, we look at Christian McCaffrey. He's close to possibly breaking a record that felt like it was going to take forever to come down. I think this is like a year. If it was another year where you didn't have like a Christian McCaffrey, I think you could definitely say Michael Thomas would probably be in like that top three.
Maybe. And I mean maybe borderline, brother, because there's always a dude. Doesn't matter what year it is. Rewind to last year, there's Pat Mahomes. Go back a year before, there's always going to be somebody that's doing ridiculous things, usually from the quarterback position. And NFL MVP is very similar to Heisman Trophy winner. Quarterback putting up stupid numbers on a really good team is usually the recipe to get there. The only other position that typically can win it is running back. And yeah, I understand. Once in a blue moon, you basically have your Michigan man. You've got your Desmond Howard. You've got your Charles Woodson. I guess it happened for Notre Dame as well. You can get your Tim Brown in. But I think that's more something that happened on the collegiate level than is likely to happen at the professional football level. So wanted to talk NFL-wide in this segment. It's been dominated by and large with Saints and Michael Thomas talking. We've got some more real estate in this segment for you to weigh in. 706-0111. I'm still kind of chuckling a little bit. I even just got a text about it. Got a little text to the program, anonymous. Somebody wants to know about that Pios Panthers game. And like right now, hey, respect to Al. I'm trying to do my best to be serious about a 44-point LSU-Arkansas spread. I'm trying to be serious about it. I'll be very professional about the important things in this ball game. LSU's going to absolutely slaughter Arkansas. They're a pitiful excuse for an SEC team right now. Their rebuilding process will take a while because they made a bad hire following a bad hire. And I didn't know that Brett Bielema would be that when he came over from Wisconsin, but the people up in Fayetteville claim he left the program in shambles. And so Chad Morris, you could argue, never really had a chance. And by extension, Arkansas has got absolutely no chance. And so we've tried to take that game seriously. I've given you probably the best Panthers-Saints preview that I can via Jake DeLome. We have fun with our man Justin Vincent, but I think it's just oozing out of everybody right now, Clint. Damn it, it's the high school football playoffs. It's round two. Everybody who wins tonight is moving on to practice on Thanksgiving weekend. Jake DeLome spoke toward that as well. It's time where people are going to punch tickets to state quarterfinals, state semifinals, march closer to the dome, and then some combination, knock on wood, cross your fingers for the Cajun Dome and Yulman Stadium. That hasn't been announced publicly, but I'm willing to bet some shekels on it if chalk prevails. It's the high school football playoffs, and it's starting to get serious. I think people are feeling that.
People are feeling it, Ben, and you know, we got the Football 90 Katie and a pregame show starting at 6.
I don't need you to pimp what I've pimped four times.
You can only hope to contain the high school football talk in the 6 o'clock hour.
Unbelievable. I give you the mic, and you come with the pimp hand. I get it. We've got Football Night in Acadiana from 6 to 6:30. We'll talk about the games we have on our stations. I'm going to let RP3 look back at his 3.5-hour tour that he had up north for Sterlington and Kaplan last night. So we will do a brief amount of reviewing. Pirates' Tank Lotief unfortunately fell up north of I-20. And then we will preview all of the games that you care about. So thanks to Al for keeping it real and reminding us that what we're really interested in is the high school football playoffs. But right now we will take one more on that MVP thread. Since I brought it up with Michael Thomas, Colin has called in. He's aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Colin, how do you feel on the subject?
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, you know, a quarterback being part of every play. On the defensive side, linebackers are a part of every play. And really, Ray Lewis is the only person in the last few years who has gotten brought up about being an MVP on the defensive side. He is part of every defensive play. So why are there not more linebackers that get consideration?
Boy, that's fair. And I'm going to give you another example. Colin, that's a great point. Thank you for the call. I'm going to tell you why that's good. I think the last guy that started to get serious burn for that conversation, at least publicly, you know, talk shows like this, if I remember correctly, it was 3 or 4 years ago with J.J. Watt, when he was not only wreaking normal J.J. Watt-type havoc, He was intercepting balls. He was picking up fumbles. The sack numbers were stupid. But that was one of those seasons where we were also talking about J.J. Watt, and the guy was knocking down like two or three extra balls a game. I remember he was one that got into that conversation. So, Colin, I'm with you. Those guys that are three down defensive players, they can have an impact on a game that supersedes even that of a star wide receiver like Michael Thomas. You ain't wrong, brother. All right, we're going to take our halfway break in this 5 o'clock hour. The Shade, it's coming next, and we're inching closer to that high school football talk. So, Al, everybody else, we got your back, and we're coming strong. After a brief timeout, we've got more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Dell's biggest Black Friday ever starts now. Save up to 50% on Windows 10 laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors before Windows 7 support ends January 14th, 2020. Save on servers and a huge selection of electronics with low monthly payments, plus get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/SB Black Friday.
If you love the combination of the NFL and Twin Peaks, and who doesn't, you need to go to 1037thegame.com right now. Make sure you take part in the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge. You've still got time to enter this week. And every single week, you get a new chance of scoring Twin Peaks gift cards by simply picking the correct winners for that week's exciting NFL action. It's simple, it's fun, and it's absolutely free to play. It's the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge, and it's brought to you by 1037 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Great show so far with great guests who come aboard. Jake DeLome, Justin Vincent in our rear view. Coming up on the other side of our next break, we'll flip it over, do a little basketball talk. Jake Madison, looking at the suddenly hot New Orleans Pelicans. Alvin Gentry's team has won three in a row. They've got games on the road against winning teams Saturday and Sunday. And then, Clint, maybe this is the perfect way to segue towards some Shade on a Friday. Let us all remember, it kind of had slipped from my radar, got to be honest with you. Let us remember that there is a very worthy start to our Thanksgiving week sports festivities. Tuesday night, Lakers at the Pelicans. The big blender is going to be rocking. Anthony Davis returns. I don't think there's going to be a ton of love lost there. The only thing that could be better is Zion Williamson healthy and going. But we got to preview that. It's part of the reason I wanted to bring Jake Madison aboard. LeBron, AD, and the Lakers coming to the Big Easy. Yes, please. I will take some of that deliciousness.
Exactly. It's a perfect appetizer right before Thanksgiving. But, I mean, I've brought it up in the past. It's probably one of the best weeks next week. Because not only do you have the Pelicans-Lakers game, AD's return to the blender, you got Saints-Falcons on Thursday Night Football, and then, of course, you got the in-state rivalry, Cajuns-UL Monroe, and then also LSU-Texas A&M, which is, I'd say, in some senses, a rivalry now.
Oh, very much so. And right smack dab in the midst of all that, it's going to be the quarter and semifinal rounds, depending if you're select or non-select for high school football, which, again, I know the natives are getting quite restless. We will have football night in Acadiana. Clint tried to pimp it. I'll bring it back. We'll have it. Rays coming aboard. 6 until 6:30. We get you ready for S-Team Evangel and all of our games on the Delta Media stations tonight, plus everything from around the area and state. But before any of that, I've got to serve up your daily reminder. It's a PSA throughout Acadiana that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. I encourage you to visit the website. See what I'm talking about. PatioCenter.com. It starts with the inventory, the standing seam metal awnings, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, but the vision and the customization truly set Patio Center apart. You'll sit down with Mark and company, and they're going to create that vision for you and then fulfill it before this upcoming spring and summer. All of that becomes a reality simply when you visit PatioCenter.com. They are the kings of customization, And for good reason, because it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I know that a notice of allegations that comes to any major academic institution at the collegiate level should be received nationwide as kind of a glass house type situation. You feel me on that? Because everybody's probably doing a little rubbing is racing, right? You know, cheating is trying. Not saying I agree with it, but certainly when you see something like today's story, Oklahoma State basketball receives a notice of allegations tied to corruption probe. Yeah, that ain't good. And so shade has to go to Stillwater. But again, this isn't just some kind of veiled reference to Will Wade and LSU. I think everybody at this point around the world of intercollegiate athletics kind of just does a little, you know, shriek away. Think of that Homer Simpson. Clint, I know you know what I'm talking about. That Homer Simpson meme where he just kind of disappears.
Yeah, he disappears into the hedge.
Yeah. Right. Everybody around college sports and college basketball is basically disappearing into the proverbial shrubs right about now. But we learned earlier today, according to a release from Oklahoma State University, the allegation includes one level one violation involving former associate head coach Lamont Evans, who was sentenced to 3 months in prison in June for accepting bribes to push players towards certain agents and financial advisors. Evans was among four assistant coaches arrested in September of 2017. You recall Auburn had one as well. And so again, this was something that almost had to happen because the assistant already got popped, and so the FBI just continued its due diligence, and eventually they handed info off to the NCAA and the governing body of intercollegiate athletics, at least for now, put their teeth into Oklahoma State. So a notice of allegation arrives on your doorstep. Shade goes to you, but everybody else just kind of slinks into the background and nothing to see here, sweeping under the rug. And then make sure that maybe we duct tape the damn rub to the floor. Nothing to see here.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
And amigo, that's just the basketball side of things, because this is technically a basketball story. But nobody wants the NC2A on their campus, because that thing, I used the phrase earlier in today's program, grows like a weed. You don't want that weed getting into your football garden, your baseball garden, the ones that really butter your bread financially. Yeah, you don't need anything tarnishing that. So, again, just one of those odd stories on this football Friday. All right, I told you, we've had a couple of great guests, Jake DeLome, Justin Vincent. We've had some great topics as well. I've enjoyed the discussion, Michael Thomas, MVP worthiness in the NFL. I say no, but it's not knocking or throwing shade. At number 13, we've also given you our over-unders on the LSU-Arkansas game. We'll keep taking those responses at 103.7 The Game, both on Twitter and via Facebook. So all that, it's been in our rear view. We're going to explode ahead into our final break in the 5 o'clock hour. Mr. Twitter Tinder Tuesday, dishing the goods and dropping dimes on a Friday. Jake Madison talking Pels when we return, so stick with us. A brief timeout, and then coming back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back in to wrap up your 5 o'clock hour. We have been so football heavy, it's not even funny. We got to get to the hardwood. And we got to talk about a suddenly streaking, and this is no drill or a joke, but the suddenly streaking New Orleans Pelicans. They win 124-121 last night in the Valley of the Suns, and Alvin Gentry's team has now captured three straight games to get back to 6-9 on the season. We got to discuss that and more. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Great to have back Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans Podcasting. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today, Ben.
So did you go into the office with a little bit of an extra pep in the step today? I don't think it matters that you start slow. Three in a row in the NBA, especially when you're winning on the road, that's living right.
Yeah, they're looking a whole lot better. You can see the Pelican ship is getting righted just a little bit. They've still got a long ways to go, but winning certainly cures a whole lot of things. And now that they're starting to get some of these guys back, Lonzo Ball back healthy with the team, Brandon Ingram the game before that, you can see that they're really starting to come together, and they're that explosive offense we thought they were going to be. Still a work in progress on defense, but things are a little bit better here in New Orleans regarding the Pelicans than when we first started the year, getting off to an 0-4 start without Zion Williamson.
Hey, tell me a little bit, if you don't mind, Jake, about Derek Favors and how much of an opportunity there is for him to come back and really make this team better, even before Zion returns to the program.
Yeah, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. This is their starting center that gives them much-needed rim protection down in the paint, down low on that side of the ball. Jackson Hayes has filled in pretty admirably, but he's not a good one-on-one defender. Favors is. He just understands the scheme a little bit more. He's that veteran guy who just knows how to play defense at an NBA level. He's going to deter shots at the rim, something the Pelicans have given up a whole lot of so far this year, and maybe force guys to take long mid-rangers. They've been a poor rebounding team at times. He's a guy that can really kind of plug that gap. With a game like Saturday against the Utah Jazz, where you've got Rudy Gobert against his former team, no less, he'd be great to have down there. I don't think we've gotten an update on when he's scheduled to return, but they need him out there. And offensively, he's good at getting those kind of putback dunks. He's a very good screener, which opens up the game for Drew Holiday a little bit more. He's kind of rebounded and playing at a much higher level offensively than he was earlier in the year because he's become that aggressive Drew Holiday we all want to see, that off-ball Drew Holiday, not the point guard Drew Holiday. And it helps to have a strong big alongside you to kind of open up some space for him. So when Favors comes back and stays healthy, I think he really does add a lot to this team.
Jake, in that win at Phoenix last night, we watched J.J. Redick go off 26 points, 5 of 8 from deep. How much of an adjustment do you think it's been for the former Dukie to get kind of acclimated to this team?
I mean, it doesn't look like it's been much of an adjustment at all, given the shooting that he has brought to the team. I don't think I've ever believed in the Pelicans' three-point shooting before. I certainly believe it's going to remain this good all year long. They're ranking the top 5 in three-point attempts per game, bombing nearly 40, and they are in the top 5 in terms of three-point percentage as well, hitting above 38% from beyond the arc. And a lot of that's due to J.J. Redick, who you saw was absolutely on fire last night. He's been on fire for the past couple of games. He stepped right in and developed instant chemistry with Drew Holiday. And he said one of the reasons he came to New Orleans in the first place was he wanted to play alongside a guy like Drew Holiday, who's spoken of so highly around the league. I think there was one game where Drew had 9 assists. 7 of them went to J.J. Redick. That is instant chemistry right there. Drew Holiday is looking for him. And when Drew Holiday is aggressive and driving at the basket, trying to score in the paint with good looks at the rim, defenses collapse. It leaves a guy like J.J. Redick open in the corners or above the break. Drew Holiday's finding him. Redick only needs an inch of space to be able to get that shot off, and he's making them because of the spacing and the looks provided by Drew Holiday and the rest of the Pelicans team.
We're talking Pelicans basketball with our man Nola Jake. That is his handle on Twitter. You need to listen to his daily podcasting, LockedOnPelicans.com, and that Twitter handle, @LockedOnPels. Give me a little bit of insight into this stretch coming up this weekend. It's 2 out of the last 3 on this 3-game road trip at Utah. You mentioned is coming up tomorrow night, and then they've got a Sunday tilt against the L.A. Clippers, 2 teams that are above 500. What are the chances maybe of taking one out of these 2?
You know, there's certainly a chance, and the Pelicans' offense just looks really good. They can score on anyone, and they can keep up with anybody scoring, and I think that bodes really well for this road trip for them. Utah's a tough one. They've got Rudy Gobert down low, who absolutely takes away the paint from anyone that tries to get near the basket. He's a 2-time defensive player of the year for a reason. But this Pelicans team is a really good shooting team, like I just mentioned. If you start bombing away from 3 and you start hitting those, it pulls Rudy Gobert out of the paint just a little bit with some of the bigs that you have. And frankly, he can't defend 3-pointers all that well. So I think overall they have a chance to stay in that game. Utah's defense is the 2nd best in the league, probably a pretty good margin overall, the top 2 defenses there. And their offense has looked out of sorts. So if they go through a rough stretch where they're not hitting their jumpers and they're shooting more jumpers than they'd like to kind of pound the ball down low, go a very slow and methodical methodical pace, basically the opposite of what the Pelicans do offensively. But if those mid-range jumpers aren't falling, they could be in for a long night. And if New Orleans is hitting their shots, they have a good chance to win this game. The next night against the Los Angeles Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back, not so sure now that they've got Kawhi Leonard and now Paul George back. Both those guys should play in that game. When New Orleans kind of surprised the Clippers at home last week in Paul George's return game, there was no Kawhi Leonard. So I think having both those guys out there makes things a little bit more difficult. You've got two guys that can, you can always have one of them on the court when Brandon Ingram is out there. That's the main guy for New Orleans right now, just playing out of his mind offensively. But you've got two guys who can really, really slow him down. I think that's going to be a really difficult game, especially after a tough battle against Utah the night before. But we'll see. I didn't think they had a chance of beating the Clippers at home last week. You never know what's going to happen out there.
And, Jake, after those two games this weekend, it's the one everybody's looking forward to. And it's really a great way to kind of tip off, if you will, our Thanksgiving week festivities. Tuesday night, inside the Smoothie King Center, the L.A. Lakers come to town. It'll be live on ESPN. Right now, the Lakers at 12-2. What do you make of that ball game, and what type of atmosphere do you expect in the Big Easy?
You know, I thought the Lakers were going to be a pretty good team this year. You had Anthony Davis alongside LeBron James. You're going to be able to go win a whole bunch. I did not foresee them being quite this good. They've gelled together a little bit more early on than I thought. Dwight Howard has kind of been just a reclamation project that's worked out in spades for them, which none of us saw coming. They are very good, especially with LeBron James locked in on defense like he's been all year long, compared to last year when he was basically just taking plays off. They are pretty much of a juggernaut of a team right now. But they're going to be walking into a hostile environment here in the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans on Wednesday. And that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is a pretty good NBA day for action. There's a reason this game's on ESPN. It is going to be hostile. Boos are going to be raining down all game long. I wonder if it is going to rattle Anthony Davis. He clearly doesn't like having some of this type of attention on him. He's not comfortable being disliked by other people. Does that affect him on the court? And I think there's a good chance that it could be. And I know we get a lot of bandwagon fans here in New Orleans when the Lakers have come to town historically. But if you saw the other night, they put up a promo for this game on the big screen in the Smoothie King Center, and boos already started raining down from the entire arena to set an image of Anthony Davis. So now that he's back in person, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I cannot wait for that. You're going to have a ton of people in town. It'll be a sold-out game. Win or lose, that is going to be an experience if you're able to attend it in person.
I'm pretty excited myself. It'll be here before we know it. Hey, before we let you go, I just love taking the temperature of people that are down there and close to this organization about what exactly Zion Williamson is going through in his rehab, his involvement, how he's sponging things both in practice from Alvin Gentry, the assistants, and the players during the game. What's the Zion experience like right now? As I'm sure he's just foaming at the mouth to get back.
Yeah, you can tell he wants to get back and play right away, but the Pelicans are taking no chances with the future franchise player here, maybe the current franchise player. They're not giving us much to go on when it comes to him. He's walking without crutches. It seems like he's been doing that for a little bit. I don't know if he's going through contact drills or not right now, but he'll get back out on the court as soon as he is, you know, cleared to return, safe to return, where there's no risk of this reoccurring or getting any worse. But you've heard him say it all offseason. You've heard him even say it during the season so far. He's trying to soak up everything and learn as much as possible, break down film right now while he's out, lean on a guy like J.J. Redick on Drew Holiday and some of the other players on the team and really pick their brains so he knows a little bit more about what to expect when he does step out there on the court. And hopefully he'll be prepared and there won't be a whole lot of rust because the Pelicans are back in playoff contention right now, just a game out of the eighth seed. When he gets back, they're looking to really make a big push, and hopefully he'll be able to contribute to all of that.
Jake, please let our listeners know what to expect, when to expect it at LockedOnPelicans.com.
Of course. So Locked On Pelicans, Monday through Friday, breaking down everything you want to know about this team. Wherever you get your podcast from, just search Locked On Pelicans, usually posted late that night. It's there for your morning commute the next day. So if you want to keep up with Zion, with Drew Holiday, how this team's going, it's definitely the best way to do it. Just search Locked On Pelicans wherever you get your podcast from.
My man, you know we appreciate you coming aboard, especially doing it on a Friday. Look forward to catching up soon, and we will be listening to the podcast. Thank you, Jake.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
He's smooth. And look, not just saying that either. I interview people for a living. We've got like three or four that come on every single day. That guy's really good, and there's a reason that he's doing podcasting. There's a reason he's having success with that. So our thanks again to Jake Madison. I know he is Mr. Twitter Tinder Tuesday, and yet we rock the mic with him on a Friday. Sometimes you get in where you fit in. Right now, we got to fit in a quick recess, but that's okay. After Jake DeLome, Justin Vincent, and you just heard Jake Madison, we'll break the streak of J's. We're going to take it to an R. Yeah, I know. Raymond Parse III. He's coming aboard. It's football night in Acadiana, the pregame show. Getting you ready for STM Evangel and all of our area and statewide action. Do not go anywhere. We're talking high school football next on 103.7 The Game.